This is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R, bringing you the broadcast of God's Word. Remember, all flesh is like grass. The glory of man is like the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth and abideth forever. All that is in this world is described as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the world will pass away in the lust. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever. Would you like to abide forever? Not here on this earth, where the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain. Or look at the headlines and see, and you'll understand what God said, that the human heart is desperately wicked and deceitful, that every imagination of the heart is evil continually, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God looked down from heaven to see if there was a just man who did not sin, and he never found one till he found the Lord Jesus Christ. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, because he was God in human form, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and then he went to the cross of Calvary. And there he received our wages. The wages of sin is death. He never sinned. Why did he die? Not because of his own sin, but he died because of sin. He died because of my sin. Did you ever stop to think of the presumption, the ignorance, the audacity of anybody who lives in this land of Bible thinking that he or she can ever get into heaven in any other way than by faith in the shed blood of the Holy Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world? Yes, way before John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God which beareth away the sin of the world," God had foreordained and foreknown that his Son, the Lord Jesus, would be his spotless lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, and it is not possible that the blood of bulls or goats could take away sin, we're told in the book of Hebrews. And God says, "Cursed is the man who puts his trust in man, ceased from man whose breath is in his nostrils." My dear friend, remember that all of our righteousness is, in God's sight, are as filthy rags. There is no righteousness in the human soul, the natural man. There's only one place in the universe of God to find righteousness, and that is in Jesus Christ the righteous, and at the cross of Calvary, where the holy, sinless, omnipotent, eternal, omniscient Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, our message at this time is hope or without hope. Every adult in this world is either in the group who have a hope or those who have no hope. Undoubtedly, you have read 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Where it says, let's begin at the 13. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Christ shall not go before those who have fallen asleep. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, how does that start off? I would not have you Christians sorrow even as others which have no hope. Others which have no hope. My dear friend, if you're a Christian, the Apostle Paul was led to write in the first verse of Colossians that we have a hope laid up in heaven. We have a hope laid up in heaven. Well, why do we have a hope laid up in heaven? Well, read the first verse of Colossians with the first verse of Timothy. First Timothy, and you find that Paul wrote to Timothy that Christ Jesus is our hope. Well, where is Christ Jesus? Well, according to Colossians, he is raised, he is risen. According to Ephesians 1:19-23, God has raised him far above all principalities and powers and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. According to Ephesians 4:8-12, God has raised him far above all heavens. According to Hebrews 9:24, he has entered into the holy place, heaven itself, there to appear in the presence of God for his saints, those who have been redeemed by God's grace and the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to Hebrews 9:12, when he entered once into heaven, he entered by his own blood and thereby obtained eternal redemption for us. What glorious good news. Yes, Christ Jesus is our hope. Christ Jesus is in heaven, and so our hope is laid up in heaven. Now in the second chapter of Ephesians, we learn something there of the past history of the Gentiles. Now remember, in the Greek and in the Hebrews, the Gentiles, the same word is Gentiles, heathen, and nation. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, he said to the Gentile woman, it's not right to take the Jews' bread and give it to the Gentile. He called Israel the children. He called the Gentiles the dogs. But some years later, something had taken place. When that kingdom nation of God, that religious nation, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Messiah and their Savior, as we read in John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But even at that, when he went to the cross of Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. One of the greatest blunders that's ever made by any Christian or Bible student or Bible teacher is to say that Israel had been set aside when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost. Certainly Acts 5:29-32 must be cut out of their Bible. For there we read that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised up as the seed of the woman, raised up from Mary to be Israel's Savior. Then in Acts 5:31-32 following, it says, God raised him again. He raised him from the dead to be Israel's prince and savior. It was not until after Israel rejected Christ both in incarnation and in resurrection that the gospel of the grace of God went to the heathen. The greatest verse in all the Bible for the understanding of God's program and message for this age in which we live is Romans 11:11, where we read, that the fall of Israel brought the gospel of grace to the Gentile. When Israel stumbled and fell, then God said to provoke them to jealousy. He raised up another apostle who called himself in Romans 11:13, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify, I glorify my office. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? As far as we have any record, the 12 apostles never preached the unsearchable riches of Christ either to Israel or the Gentiles. That was the peculiar message that the risen, glorified Christ gave to Paul by special revelation. So Paul speaks of the dispensation of the mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God. And he tells the Gentiles in Ephesians 2:11-12 what they had been. He said, you've been aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And in Ephesians 4:18, you were alienated from the life of God. And in Ephesians 2:12, you were without God. That's the word from which we get the word atheist. Atheos. You know, some people think that you have to be a blaspheming individual who denies the existence of a supreme being to be an atheist. Many people are talking about believing in God. Well, the demons believe in God and tremble. I want to tell you, my dear friends, that Jesus Christ said, "No man knoweth the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son shall make him known." And after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, anyhow, we read there in Ephesians 2:12 that the Gentiles were without Christ, they were without God, they were without hope. And I want to say to you, you may be religious today, and I tell you, there's something very subtle today. There's a Christian veneer. When in this age of materialism and people talk about religion and they go out and behave just like the sinners and they go to church and they think church membership or some kind of ritual or some kind of a sacrament will do them some good, or joining the church or getting religion. But I want to say to you, my dear friend, it's still true that except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You're not born from above by being religious. There's a great difference between being moral and religious and being righteous and spiritual. You cannot be righteous and spiritual until you've been by faith to Calvary and have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and become a new creature in Christ Jesus. By grace, through faith in Jesus, I am forever saved. Not that I'm religious or so very well behaved. The best I have by nature, God will not receive, but I have life eternal because in Christ I believe. By Christ my debt in full was paid when he was crucified. I have peace with God, peace Christ made when on the cross he died. I stand before the judge divine as though no sin I'd done. Christ had no sin but died for mine. God changed it, charged it to his son. And remember, we're told in the first chapter of Peter, we're begotten unto a living hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. That's the only way you can pass out of the group having no hope to those who have a hope, because Christ Jesus is the only hope. And then Paul said, if in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable, but we have a hope laid up in heaven. And every Christian who is a well-rounded and well-founded Christian who's established in the Word of God knows that he's been turned to God to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus who delivered us from the wrath to come. We're not looking for death. Death may overtake us, but death is not the hope of the member of the body of Christ. The coming of the Lord, and he's coming someday, some hour, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not setting any dates. We do not know when he'll come. He may be 1,000 years. It may be not 1,000 hours or 1,000 moments. He may come at any time, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then I want to tell you, my dear friends, those that are hopeless, who are without hope, though they may be religious church members, they'll be left behind. Are you rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God? Do you have a hope laid up in heaven? Will you receive Christ as your Savior? If you'd like this message in print, send the postage to Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R, 1011 Wilson Avenue in Chicago. Until our next broadcast, remember to pray for our testimony and tell others of our broadcast. J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. Goodbye and God bless you. Once again, it's our privilege to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we love, whom we honor, whom we worship, whom we preach. You remember what the Apostle Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me." Yes, he said, we are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And he said, God will have all men to be saved. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. who gave himself a ransom for all. Well, God wants you to be saved. He wanted me to be saved. And many years before I really surrendered and received the Lord Jesus Christ, now I want to thank God that I'm rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God, and I can join with the apostle who said, therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:20, we read that the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary made peace through the blood of his cross. Now this is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, O-H-A-I-R, 1011 Wilson Avenue in Chicago. We give you this address because we're always glad to hear from our radio friend. We've had the privilege of using the radio for 30 years and 9 months. Yeah, more than that, a little more than that, to send out the glorious gospel of the grace of God. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Read that wonderful story from Romans 10:10 to 10:15. Wonderful story. Then see whether you have beautiful feet or not. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel of peace. Peace is a beautiful word. I love those three words in the salutations of Paul. Grace, mercy, and peace. The law was given by Moses. Grace came by Jesus Christ. Yes, and God's wrath. We are saved from God's wrath by God's mercy. And you'll either have the mercy of God or the wrath of God. And then, notice there, he said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And you'll either have the wrath of God or the peace of God. And remember that the law worketh wrath. When Moses was on Mount Sinai getting the law, that law worked wrath. When Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, he made peace through the blood of his cross. The only place you can find peace is where you find righteousness and redemption and regeneration and eternal life. And that's at the cross of Calvary. Life begins at Calvary, where Jesus died for sin. Until you come to Calvary, your life will not begin. The life received at Calvary will never, never end. So come to Christ at Calvary. He's still the sinner's friend. Now we have that little poem in a chorus in music with several others. If you write in, we'd be very glad to send you a copy of it. Just ask for the 4-page chorus leaflet. Writing to Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue in Chicago. I've also published about 155 books. I think we have about half of them still on hand, several hundred thousand books, and we're sending them out all over the United States. And if you're interested in them, if you send the postage, we'll send you 2 or 3 samples, then you can look them over. We have a book of charts, a set of charts, showing the complete outline of the Bible and then the detailed explanation, and give you a bird's eye view of the Bible. And as I said to some of my friends, I said, in 5 hours, with this chart, you can learn much of what it took me more than 50 years to learn. So if you'd like to get a copy of these, just write in to 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. Now, you know, every Christmas, they recite that scripture, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth. Well, during my lifetime, we had the Spanish-American War. We had the World War I, World War II, the Korean War. And then they've had the war over in Indochina. And they had war between Russia and Japan and Japan and China. And there's wars, rumors of war. Where is the peace? Well, ask the politicians today and the statesmen. We're spending over $1 million a day way over in the Far East because we're afraid of war. Doesn't look like peace on earth, goodwill toward men. What's the matter? Well, remember, my dear friend, God's not responsible for our misunderstanding. When we read when peace will be on earth, it is prophesied in Isaiah 9:6-7. There we read, Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, because he shall sit on the throne of David. My dear friends, before there'll be peace on this earth, four great changes, radical changes, must take place. The church will be in glory, the body of Christ. The nation Israel will be in their own land. Satan will be in the bottomless pit. Jesus Christ will be on the throne of David. I'll give you a guarantee, because we have a sure more word of prophecy. I'll give you a guarantee and tell you, if you're going to heaven, I'll tell you when you get there. I said, I told you so. That you'll never have peace on this earth as long as Jesus Christ is far above in heaven as the head of the church, which is his body. Peace must be when the Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne of David. You remember, before they give that Christmas message in Luke 2, why don't they give the rest of it in Luke 1:27-33? That the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then peace on earth, goodwill toward men. For Jesus Christ was born to take the throne of David and to reign over the house of Jacob forever. Why does God say, pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Peace isn't going to begin at Washington or London or Paris or any other capital. Peace is going to begin at Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, the kingdom nation did not receive their king and prince. They rejected him. And did you ever read what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 12:47-52? He said, do you think that I came to bring peace on this earth? No. I came to bring division. There will be two in one family against three. There was division. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was not going then to the throne of David to be crowned with many diadems as he's going someday when he comes back. But he was going to the cross of Calvary to be crowned with a crown of thorns. And when he was in the shadow of the cross, he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. That was Satan. And he said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, signifying what death he should die. For this cause came I unto this hour. That was lowly Jesus, meek and mild, riding on the foal of an ass. And then he went to the cross of Calvary, and there he made peace. And right before he left to go to the cross, he said, my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What did the Lord promise to his disciples? Just exactly what we'll get today if we're faithful and true. We have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We can say, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But I wonder how many of us can join with the Apostle Paul, who said, rather will I glory in my infirmities, in my necessities, in my tribulations, in my persecution. Do you glory in them for Christ's sake? All who will live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. But I reckon that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. But in the midst of all the turmoil and disaster, even on the battlefield, our poor boys that go out to fight in blood and sweat, they can be conscious of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Well, it's one thing to know that Jesus Christ made peace by dying on the cross, and another thing to know that he will bring peace to this earth when he becomes the Prince of Peace on the throne of David. I have a poem here I wrote, and if you'd like to get this poem, you can send, and the message that we're giving, very much the same message is in it. It's entitled, The Prince of Peace is Coming. Now, when you think of this, remember Luke 2, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Then remember what Christ said some years later when he said, I did not come to bring peace to this earth. I came to bring division. And we have that division today. And you know the condition of this world today, my dear friends. There's no millennium here now. And there'll not be a millennium here as long as the body of Christ is here and Christ is at God's right hand as the head of the body. He must come back and be the King of Kings and be the Prince of Peace and take the throne of David. The Prince of Peace is coming. God has a kingdom plan. As King and Judge, Christ's coming. Christ the Son of Man. The whole creation's groaning. Creatures strive and rage. God's own word assures us of the coming golden age. The coming King of Glory will make all wars to cease. Instead of strife and violence, he'll bring a reign of peace. The Lord will save his nation, restore and heal and bless. In the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of world's distress, there'll be great signs in heaven, great sorrows here on earth, war and tribulation and pestilence and dearth. The man of sin deceiving with miracle and sign will rule with mighty power, will be worshipped as divine. With the other beast of Satan in political control, it will be his mark, our vengeance for every living soul. At this time of tribulation to this earth with all its woes, the Lord will come in judgment and conquer all his foes. And then the King of Glory shall begin his earthly reign. We have the words of Jesus, "I'll go and come again." Peace and plenty is God's promise this reign of Christ will bring. No war, no want, no sorrow when Jesus reigns as King. It will mean to miss earth's sorrows in the coming day of wrath. How blessed then believers who choose God's righteous path. Oh, what bliss eternal for sinners saved by grace. No death, no sin, no sickness when we behold his face. Above with Christ the Savior where joy shall never cease. This the great salvation is the gospel of in the gospel of his peace. Because the Lord of glory went to Calvary's tree, because he suffered there for sinners, he died for you and me. Christ's death is unavailing and his sacrifice for naught. If you reject God's mercy, the redemption Christ has wrought, then why despise God's goodness and choose eternal grief? Why neglect the great salvation and die in unbelief? Won't you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Now remember, this is Pastor J.C. O'Hare, 1011 Wilson Avenue, Chicago. If you want this book with the message and the poem, write in and send the postage, and we do appreciate it very much.